Today, household financial confidence is on the improve. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I want to take you through our latest survey results relating to household financial confidence to the end of November and beyond. And this information, of course, is drawn from our 52,000 household revolving surveys, and that's updated each week. So we're going to start by looking at the overall household financial confidence index. This is the aggregate measure. And you can see here that over the last month, it has moved up quite a long way, up to 85.67. And a few months ago, it was sitting at 73.2. That was an all-time low. So things are definitely on the improve, although it's worth noting that at 85.67, it is still well below the neutral setting that we've seen over the long term. So we've still got some way to go. And it's worth noting here that we're looking specifically at household financial confidence. So it is a narrower perspective relative to some of the other indices out there that are looking more generally at overall confidence. And it's important because, of course, the financial dimensions of households are under some strain, as you'll see in a moment. But nevertheless, this is a positive result. So now we've looked at the overall answer, let's look at the components that drive the index. And we're going to start with property and property expectations. So this is the property segment analysis. And we can see there that the index is up. And we can look first at property active owner-occupier households. And there's been a considerable rise this month as mortgage rates drop and as refinancing allows people to reduce their repayments. And of course, more people are now back at work. But if you look at property active investors, so those are property owners with investment properties, there is no recovery there because we're still seeing significant pressure with regards to rental returns. And there's also a question among many property investors as to whether their capital appreciation is going to return. Many of them, of course, hold units, and units are underperforming relative to the market. And it's also worth noting that those who are inactive relating to property are also slightly more positive, and that is explained by two factors. Firstly, many of them are renting, and they can rent for less, and many of them are seeing their incomes rise a little as work returns. Now let's look at the states, because there's some quite interesting data there too. And the first point is that New South Wales is showing a slight recovery. It's just above 80 now. But Victoria had a very significant rebound. And that is, of course, thanks to the unlocking that's happened over the last few weeks. Queensland continues to make movements slightly higher. And South Australia had a little wobble. I think that's probably to do with the virus concerns that were there a couple of weeks ago. And Western Australia has now overtaken all the states in our survey. And the households over in the West are the most positive lot of all. Having looked at the states, we can now go on and look at the age bands. And of course, age bands are quite interesting because they have different wealth profiles, whether you're younger or whether you're older. And so we start by looking at those aged 20 to 30. And there's been almost no recovery at the moment. Many households in this group are under significant financial pressures. They tend to be working in gig economy type roles or part-time multiple roles, and their incomes are under significant pressure. Those in the 30 to 40 age bracket are slightly more positive and are moving up just slightly. But there's been a very significant rise in those aged 40 to 50. And that is because they have smaller mortgages and less debt. And they also have much higher holdings of investments, including stock market investments, which of course have done very well relatively recently. Those age 50 to 60 are doing better still, whereas those age 60 plus are improving just a little. And I want to highlight the fact that those age 40 to 50 and 50 to 60 are responding so positively because of the market movements in the last month or two, where stock markets have started to reach all-time highs again. And they also tend to have lower levels of mortgage debt, which means that the debt side of the equation is less of a problem. Whereas those who are 60 plus are very much exposed to term deposits, and deposit rates, of course, have turned very low, and many of them are now really struggling with regards to balancing income and expenditure, simply because the returns from deposits are so low. Now let's move on and look at the wealth segments. And this is quite a nice summary of what I've just said. So if we start looking at those free affluent households, so these are households without a mortgage. They own property. They often own other savings assets too, including market investments. And their index now has taken a very significant move towards its neutral setting and probably will continue higher thanks to the strong returns from the markets. Those renting are seeing a slight improvement, and that's because rentals are a little cheaper and incomes are a little stronger than they were. And those with a mortgage are seeing some improvement thanks to lower mortgage rates and a little bit more positive news from the property sector. So having looked at those main dimensions, let's look at the drivers themselves. The first one we're going to look at is job security, because job security, of course, is extremely important when it comes to households' confidence levels. And the first thing to notice is that there has been an uptick in those feeling more secure. It's around 10% of households now, up from 5% a few months ago. And that's reflecting the better job situation and the disappearing issues with regard to the virus, locally at least. Also, those feeling less secure has dropped. It reached a peak just below 70%. Now it's below 60% and continues to fall. And those who are feeling about the same about their prospects with regard to job security compared with 12 months ago is up just a little at around 30%. Now, let's look at income. Has your real income improved or not over the last 12 months is the question that we're looking at. And here, there is just a small rise in those who are saying that income has risen, about 5%. That's considerably higher than a few months ago. Whereas the proportion who said their income is lower than 12 months is still well above 60%, but is down slightly. And those whose income has stayed the same over the last 12 months or so remains just over 30%. Now, what about cost of living? This is another critical issue, of course. And there we are still seeing a very significant issue with regard to cost of living. Over 90% of households are reporting that their costs of living are higher than 12 months ago. And of course, that's going to likely continue simply because of the relationship between cost of living and, for example, the cost of groceries. And everyone's forecasting that fruit and vegetables will be more expensive in coming months, partly because of issues with picking. Those who've seen their cost of living fall still remain extremely low. It is unusual for people to say that it's cheaper now than it was a year ago. And there is a small proportion who said there's been no change, but the bulk of households are still reporting that their cost of living remain higher. Now, this could signal higher levels of true inflation than in the official statistics. And that's something we should keep an eye on, because, of course, if inflation is stronger, then that could be a forward indicator of higher mortgage rates later. Now let's look at savings. How do you feel about your savings compared to 12 months ago? And here, there is a small uptick in those feeling more comfortable. About 5% of households are more comfortable than a year ago. About 55% are feeling less comfortable than a year ago. And that is explained by two factors. Firstly, there is this drop in returns on deposits. Term deposits are extremely low. Call deposits are, frankly, not paying anything now. And the other is that many households are still tapping into those savings to make ends meet. And so they are running down their savings balances. And that's something we should keep an eye on as we go forward. I expect more of that ahead. The savings ratios, of course, have been very high until recently. And a lot of that money went straight into the major banks. And those term deposits and call deposits are paying almost nothing. And around 38% are saying that there's been no change in their savings compared with 12 months ago. Now let's look at debt, because obviously we know that one third of the population has very significant debt. A lot of that is mortgage debt, but they also have credit card debt, payday loans, and even things like Afterpay. Credit and debt is such a critical part of the economy, and of course the banks rely on that debt to drive their profits. So what's happening with debt is very significant and important. And if we look there, we can see that there's been a slight uptick in those feeling more comfortable. It's close to 10% now. And the reason they're more comfortable is because rates are a lot lower, so therefore affordability of debt is easier than it was. Whereas those feeling less comfortable has dropped. Around 60% of households are feeling less comfortable. It was up closer to 65% when we looked at it last month. And again, it's a combination of being able to refinance and also lower debts, plus the fact that some households are still being given significant leeway with regard to the interest and principal holidays, and many others have switched to interest-only loans, which means that the debt servicing is a lot easier. That, of course, is in the short term quite useful, but the problem with interest-only loans is that the principal remains outstanding, and at the end of the day, you probably still have to make those repayments in some way to pay down the debt just later. So it's putting things off for a little while, but isn't necessarily solving anything. And around 30% of households have seen little change, so they feel about the same as the debt that they had previously. Now let's move on and look at the net worth of households. So this is assets minus debts. And there's been a considerable return to those feeling better than 12 months ago. It's moved up to just around 28% at the moment. And that is explained predominantly by the stock market movements. Those households with considerable assets, market related, have seen considerable returns relative to where they were earlier in the year. And of course, all of the losses that were there earlier in the year have been wiped out, and we're at all-time highs in some areas. And there are also some signs of property values improving in some areas, particularly houses. That said, there is still a proportion of households who believe that their net worth is less than it was. It's about 58% of households now, so it's dropped below 60, and that is predominantly related to continued capital losses in property. And then there's about 16 or 17% of households who report there's been no change, their net worth has not changed over the last 12 months. So there is improvement here, but it is, of course, not equally spread. And we are seeing some evidence of some households doing quite well, particularly those who are older and more affluent, whereas those who are younger and are more debt-laden are not doing so well at all. Now let's just move to talk more broadly about consumer sentiment. And of course, this week, Westpac Economics Melbourne Institute published their consumer sentiment index. And boy, were they bullish. They said that the index lifted by 4.1% to 112 in December from 107.7 in November. That's another very strong move. The surge, they say, continues. It's now 48% above the low in April and has reached its highest level since October 2010, marking a 10-year high. Only after 8 months, the evidence seems clear that sentiment has fully recovered from the COVID recession, they said. And the economy next 12 months sub-index rose 9.9% to 111.9, a 10-year high. They said the near-term outlook would have been significantly boosted by the continued containment of the virus locally. And I think that is the point. This index is measuring something quite different from my financial security index. This is more broadly sentiment. Of course, the good news with regard to the virus and now the vaccine and the strong market performance all helps to support what's going on. So we have to be careful not to confuse apples and pears when we compare these different indices. And talking of different indices, the Roy Morgan Confidence Index came out this week as well. It was up 1.7%. It's still below the average setting, but they said the headline index is now at its highest level in 2020. In fact, this is the first time in 18 months that confidence is higher than it was last year. And they concluded that we believe this bodes well for year-end spending. So a little bit like the DFA index, we are seeing some improvement, but it is still not above the long-term neutral setting, and that is a considerable difference to the Westpac Sentiment Index. It's also worth just reflecting on this data. This relates to the mortgage market activity from CoreLogic, and they highlighted that the leading mortgage index is its highest in 3 years. So there is evidence of mortgage applications being processed. We'll see whether that translates to higher credit. Just bear in mind, of course, that mortgage applications don't always translate into funded loans, but nevertheless, this is quite a significant turnaround from where we were 2 or 3 months ago. And the final index I just wanted to discuss before I finish today is the one from NAB relating to the business sector. And this is an important index as well because it shows some interesting issues with regard to conditions and confidence levels amongst businesses. And yes, it has improved. And both business confidence and business conditions are now above that dotted line, that average. But it's also worth noting this data point, that whilst there is a little bit more enthusiasm with regard to business investments, the whole question of employment is much more complex. And indeed, the data shows that both in seasonally and trend terms, unemployment remains below its zero setting. And the unemployment trending is also not very strong. Employment does vary by industry. And labour costs, according to NAB's survey, are falling, suggesting that people are being paid less, maybe more part-time work, maybe more gig economy work. So this doesn't necessarily bode well to the broader economy. So to conclude our analysis, yes, there is some good news here. Confidence is improving. It's moving towards the neutral setting on our basis, but it masks some very important differences between different types of households. Those with big debts, those who are younger, those who have yet to buy property are all looking much weaker than those who have property without a mortgage, that have market exposure and have benefited from the recent market moves. And I think we need to watch this data quite closely ahead as JobKeeper and JobSeeker continue to ebb away. And remember that the end of the year marks the removal of the moratorium on bankruptcies, and directors will have to start telling the truth again. And of course, March marks the end of the principal interest repayment holidays. So I still think there's a long way to go before we can declare that the crisis is past. And therefore, my own view is that the Westpac Institute analysis is too bullish. It's too myopically focused on the virus. Whereas the broader economic data and the broader business confidence data still highlights we have a long way to go. But let's celebrate the good news. We are definitely looking at trajectory, which is taking us towards more positive territory. Let's see whether that continues over the next two or three months. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.